English Across the Pond.
Hello, 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 English Across the Pond listeners, wherever you are in the world. Welcome back to another episode of English Across the Pond, the place for you to practice and improve your English skills. My name is Jennifer, and I'm from the US.
And my name is Dan, and I'm from England.
Dan and I are both English teachers, recording and creating this podcast for you every single week. However, if you're just tuning in, we want you to know that English Across the Pond is more than just this podcast. As English teachers, we create a complete English lesson, starting with a goal, continuing with vocabulary, listening exercises, reading practice, speaking and writing practice to improve your total skills in English. If you are an English learner and you are looking to skyrocket your English success, if you're looking for a way to practice all of the skills, more than just listening, then English Across the Pond and our Gold membership is the place to do it. We recommend that you sign up and become a Gold member today because, like I said, you're going to be getting resources and materials for a complete lesson around this podcast today, helping you improve your fluency. Last week, we mentioned all of the writing practice you get. So I want to just take a minute to tell you how beneficial and helpful our speaking practice is in our Gold membership. Our Gold members get a speaking task every week that they complete and send to us. Our members get feedback, corrections, support, and tips on how to improve their speaking. And most importantly, they get to practice their speaking. This is incredibly important for your fluency. If you want to sign up and try it free, head over to our website. We have a free sample of our materials for you to try out. We know that once you see these incredible learning resources, you are not going to be able to resist signing up. So head over to our website, englishacrossthepond.com, click subscribe, or head over to englishacrossthepond.com/gold. That's G-O-L-D. Review the membership, get your free sample, and join us today. Dan.
Hi.
Hi. Couple things we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
But first, you love to start with quotes. You know what I love to start with.
Quotes.
Visualization.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good.
Yeah. So I want you to close your eyes. Members, if you're listening and you are not driving a car or operating a vehicle, I want you to close your eyes with us. I repeat, if you're doing something dangerous, do not close your eyes. But if you're just relaxing, sitting, studying English with us, close your eyes for a minute and imagine yourself in the middle of a beautiful forest. Mm. You're surrounded by trees. Next to you, there's a tent that you have pitched, a sleeping bag rolled out on the inside. Maybe there's a fire crackling, crackle, pop, 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 next to you. And you're lying on your back and you're looking up. What do you see?
Well, if I'm in the middle of the forest, I won't be cheeky. I can see the beautiful cloudless sky and a million stars.
Stars, you say?
Yeah.
Stargazing is the topic, is the theme today.
Wow,
and it is gazing, yes, looking up and watching stars. Mm. So is this something that you do? Is this something you have done?
It's not something that I do regularly as part of my life, but around here, not too far away, 10-15 minutes in a car, is a national forest and people aren't allowed to build new houses in there. There's just a few villages or very small farms, and the sky is amazing when you go there.
Yeah.
Because it's so dark, you know, like there's no, obviously, no lights from the town or city side.
That was something else I wanted to mention. Light pollution.
Yeah.
So we've done a noise episode, right? Where we kind of talked about noise pollution, like cars, traffic, horns, construction, yeah, car alarms, mm-hmm, crying babies, barking dogs, right? But what is light pollution?
Well, you know, we very rarely in the 21st century do we experience sort of there being no unnatural light 24 hours a day, obviously not during the daytime because the sun's there, but as soon as the sun goes we surround ourselves with unnatural light. And of course we see satellite images of big cities, it's just one big ball of electricity, of electric light, and so we don't actually experience what the world is really like, and we never or very very rarely experience complete darkness, you know, jet black or pitch black. It's never pitch black. It's really disorientating when you actually experience full darkness. We never have full darkness because there's a light on somewhere in the street outside, or you know,
in a nightlight, in a
yeah,
kitchen refrigerator when you open it up in the middle of the night for your snack,
the hall light or the landing light, or
yes.
So what about when you're asleep, do you have a light on outside or
I actually have a rock salt lamp in my room.
Ah,
it's very very dim. Mm. But I have a rock salt lamp.
What's,
because that's supposed to cleanse my room.
Does it?
And kind of pull the toxins.
Yeah. Does it?
And release the cleansed water back into the air. It expels negative ions. So it's supposed to kind of help like cleanse a room. Talking about light pollution, I feel like it's a bit contradictory, but you know.
But do you feel, this is obviously we're getting off the topic of stars and light, but do you feel that your rock lamp, does it work, do you think?
Yeah, we ended up buying, my husband and I bought one because we stayed at a friend's house when my son was like 4 months old one time.
Mm.
And she so graciously gave us her room. And it was one of the first times my son slept through the night. And we're like, oh my God, this rock salt lamp is incredible.
Yeah.
So we bought one.
And can I ask, was it a bit expensive or not really?
It was affordable.
Okay. I think maybe there's better ones and cheaper ones and more expensive ones. I think they can be quite a lot of money.
Yeah, they can be. This I don't think was like top of the line, but it wasn't like a $10 one from Amazon, yeah, sure, either.
Yeah, cool.
It was like from this really cool shop in the mountains.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was cool. But so light pollution, that is something my husband is really affected by. Like my mom lives kind of in the country, a little bit more like in nature. And that was one of the first things my husband said when we got to the States and we're at my mom's house, was like, oh my God, to be able to look up at night in the sky and see stars.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Because you know, where he lives and like in Brazil, there's tons of streetlights. So light pollution, as we mentioned, are like the streetlights. They're the car lights. They're the house lights. All of those man-made light resources that affect the natural lighting or darkness in the sky. So he loves watching the stars. And it's something that we definitely enjoy doing when we go camping.
Incredible drain on you know, resources as well, having streetlights on sort of all night. And I think we can feel afraid without having them on. Yeah, and you know, our streets are black and very dark, and that's very scary. But to have them on in every city all night, every night, that takes a lot of energy.
Yes, it does. So I kind of chose this topic today because it's fall.
Oh,
yeah. And when I think of fall, I think of like camping. And camping is definitely where we do a lot of stargazing, yeah, because you're usually in nature. You don't have a lot of light pollution and it's easy to see them. So where else can we watch stars, or where else have you watched stars?
Well, actually, geographically, the other side of where I am, I'm in the northeast. Hold on, I have to think. I'm in the northeast of England, and it's great here in the forests around here in the national park. On the other side is the Lake District, and that's another sort of protected area. There's a clue in the title. It's a district with lots of lakes in it. It's an area with lakes. And I remember once going, we set the tent up, and then we went to have dinner, and we came out, and it was really, really, really dark, you know, nighttime, and looked up. Oh, honestly, it was sort of breathtaking. Just billions of stars, and we could see the Milky Way and things. So, yeah, it was amazing, really exciting. Great thing was that we hadn't thought about, oh, I bet when we finished our dinners that there'll be lots of stars. Do you know what I mean? It was completely unexpected, and we looked up, and we were spellbound.
Well, you mentioned the Milky Way. Yeah. What is the Milky Way?
I think it's the galaxy that our solar system lives in, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But what? Yeah. So, how do you see like the Milky Way?
I think it looks
like, what did you see?
Like a cloud. It's like a strip of cloud. Yeah. I think it looks cloudy. Kind of, I guess, kind of like a bit of a, it looks kind of milky. Sorry.
You went there. Just kidding. Yeah. So the galaxy that contains our system, as you mentioned. What else can you see when you look up? Like, yes, there's a bunch of stars. You could see the Milky Way. You could see the galaxy. But what are other things that stargazers look up to see?
Well, I didn't realize there was a question on some TV quiz show the other day, and I'll ask you, how many planets can you see with the naked eye? I'll tell you my answer.
Can I call a friend? I honestly have no idea.
I thought it was two, which is Mars, which is kind of like orange, and Venus, which is the one that twinkles. And the answer was, I don't know, I'm Googling it, because I can't remember.
Five. I got it right. I didn't even Google.
Yeah. So Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. So apparently you can see, I think the only two that you can really see, early in the evening, low in the horizon, Mars is the orange one, and Venus is the twinkly one, a twinkle twinkle little star. Apparently you can also see Mercury, Jupiter, and Saturn, but I think you might need very good eyes or binoculars for that.
Okay, well, what about the Big and Little Dipper?
Yeah, I can see, I know the plow, there's the plow. I don't know if that, I think that might be one of the dippers. I think we call that the plow. And I can always spot Orion's belt.
So Orion.
Yeah.
So the Little Dipper is called Ursa Minor, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But you call it what?
The plow. It looks like a sort of plow that you plow the fields with.
Oh, a plow. Got it. Yeah. So you mentioned Orion. Are there any other constellations that you know about?
What I've just seen as well, it says the Big Dipper, US, or the Plow, UK. So yeah, it's the
differences.
Yeah, it's the Big Dipper for you guys. Well, I know, you know, you can get amazing apps on your phone where you hold it up to the sky and it outlines all these sort of like Greek gods and stuff.
I tried that.
No, it didn't work for me. And I would love to know sort of like more about the sky. And in the aforementioned forest that I mentioned earlier that's nearby, they do evenings in the, I think in the autumn and in the winter, because it's darker, where you can go along and they do a little chat and you look into the huge telescope. But I've never been.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I honestly, like, have never done any stargazing, kind of star watching guided tours or anything, but it's definitely something I'd be interested in.
Yeah, me too. I think it'll blow your mind a bit. And of course, you know, having kids, you know, my daughter being 11, it's the kind of thing.
She'd love that.
Well, maybe not, but it's the sort of thing as a parent you think, I should really be doing things like that.
Oh, yeah. Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah, quite right. So, no, I know the plow, the stars on the belt. I don't know that much about it, to be honest. I wish I did.
Yeah. Well, maybe those are goals for, yeah. you know, New Year's resolutions. Learn more about the stars.
Stargazing goals. Yeah, I'm looking at some pictures now, but yeah, it doesn't mean a lot to me.
So then a couple other questions. Mm. What are there any... I want to try to ask this question with, you know, openness for you to answer and maybe for listeners to think about it and answer without just saying it. Mm. But are there any kind of tradition type things or things that you always do when you're star watching or stargazing?
If you see a shooting star, which I believe is it a meteorite? Is it burning up on entry? You make a wish if you see a shooting star.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen. Have I? I can't remember.
Wait, you don't know if you've ever seen a shooting star like in your entire existence?
Yeah, I must have done it, but I can't remember doing it. But there was one night when me and some friends, Neil and Ivan and Sarah, we were camping and there was it was like a star, like all the other stars, but it was sort of moving in a straight line and it stopped and went in like at a right angle to the dark, and we don't know what it was. Yeah, and we were all watching it.
UFO?
Maybe. UFO. But I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
Have you seen a UFO?
I don't think so.
Mm.
I don't think so. I mean, I have seen an unidentified flying object, I guess. But I've never have thought of it as being... Like, I've always thought, like, it's probably like a plane or it's...
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Something like
weird
cosmic
clouds.
Light related. Yeah, I've never been like... An alien is coming.
Yeah.
The northern lights or auroras.
Yeah. Mm.
Is that on your bucket list at all of things to see?
You can see them here in Scarborough.
You can?
Very rarely. But yeah, they do. They appear here. We're quite far north. And in the winter, some guy got a picture of they were red. But you have to kind of... Because they're so unguaranteed, you have to stay up kind of all night with a chance of them being there for sort of like 10 seconds. So, yeah, you can see them where I live. But, it would be amazing to see them. Is it a bit of a cliche, do you think?
Well, you could argue that like the statue or the like Eiffel Tower is a cliche.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, I think any major like touristic type of thing or something that people want to do, I think could be considered cliche, right? God, Debbie Downer over here. Just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. So I kind of do want to see the Northern Lights, but I kind of get this idea I might with like hundreds of other people, and you know, I don't know that it might not be special.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But I also feel that that's kind of the experience with any major touristy spot, you know, like you want to go experiencing it and then there's 75,000 other people pushing and getting in your way and taking pictures and throwing trash or like just being kind of rude.
Human.
Yeah.
Like the Louvre in Paris, you know, we all want to see the Mona Lisa, and the problem is we all want to see the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, true that.
Yeah.
Final question. Yeah. You know, your birthday is coming up here.
Yeah.
In a couple months.
Yeah.
Well, how would you feel if I bought you a star and I named a star for you?
Depends what name you give the star, but yeah, that.
No, it's your. It's your name.
Oh yeah, not like like an abusive nickname.
No. I wouldn't record that.
I think that's a very nice thing to do. Is it expensive?
Well, a quick little Google search and you can find one for under $20, my friend.
That's because, you know, something like I saw, you know, those videos where it starts off with like, this is the size of the Earth and this is the size of the Earth compared to the sun. However, the sun is one of the small, you know, it keeps doing the size thing.
Mm-hmm.
And of all of the stars that we can see, with the naked eye, you know, at night, and it showed you that, like, if you look in your room now, the amount of stars that we can see is like a pinprick in your room. It's like 1/1000th of a percent of all the stars that are out there. Yeah.
Oh.
So there's a lot of stars out there.
So there's a lot of stars to name.
Yeah, really, which explains why it's less than $20.
Yeah, but it can go a little more pricey. I remember a friend did that when we were really young. I thought it was so cool.
Yes, it is cool.
I don't know if it was because I saw it so long ago. I feel like the novelty has kind of lost a little bit, but something to consider if you are looking for a special and unique gift. Name a star for someone.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
What about, unfortunately, the only guarantee when we're born is that one day, you know, our lives will come to an end. And, you know, I don't want to end up, you know, talking about death, but I am going to do that. What about when you're dead, getting your ashes jettisoned into space in a capsule and you live in space forever?
Oh, no, nah, I'm not ready for something like that yet.
I don't mean now.
Oh, well, yeah.
Not particularly.
Maybe one day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think the star one is better than the ashes jettisoned one.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Yeah. It's a nice birthday present. I really, really appreciate
it. It'll be coming in the mail, so yeah, be on the lookout, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. If you could rename the Big Dipper for me, that would be lovely.
I'll work on that. That might be a little more pricey, but I'll see if I can find a Groupon.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And if you listening know anything about stargazing, stars, constellations, anything that we just clearly had no scientific knowledge about, we would love to hear it. However, we also hope this gave you some fun new vocabulary to do on your next weekend adventure with friends or family.
When you were talking, I was looking out the window. I thought it was Saturn, but I think it's just a bird, actually.
Not some kind of UFO, huh?
Yeah, so yeah, we need your help out there to help us to appreciate the stars because we're not very good at it.
Perfect. So with that said, we are going to go do our stargazing this evening, and we hope to see you and hear you next week.
See you.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right. And in this grammar language focus this week, we're going to be talking about the articles in English. And I'm talking about the a, an, the, and the zero article or no article. We're going to talk a little bit about common uses, common mistakes, and go into more practice in our study plan. So let's talk a little bit about the difference between a and an. The main difference between a and an is the word that comes after. A is going to be used with words that start with a consonant. A star. A shooting star. A tent. A bench. And this, I want to stress, is actually when the word starts with a consonant sound. A-N, an, is going to be used when the word after starts with a vowel sound. An umbrella. An energetic person. And that's the main difference between A and an. We use this singular A and an article with singular count nouns the first time that we mention something. For example, oh, look, I saw a shooting star. I saw a shooting star. A shooting star. This is the first time I'm mentioning this shooting star. The person I'm talking to doesn't know that I saw it, doesn't know what I'm talking about. So the first time that we mention something, we introduce it with the singular article a or an before the noun. I also want to note the difference between the pronunciation. In American English, I pronounce the article a as the schwa sound a. I saw a shooting star. Now, we introduce the word the article the, when we talk about the noun for the second time. So the second time we mention a noun, or of course, if the noun is already known by the listener. For example, did you see the shooting star? I saw a shooting star. Did you see the shooting star? When I say, did you see the shooting star? It's the second time I'm mentioning it. So the person listening already knows what shooting star I'm talking about. It's the shooting star that I just saw. If you use the first time that you mention something, it can cause confusion. Did you see the shooting star? The person might say, no, what shooting star? What are you talking about? Which one? If you haven't mentioned something first, it might be confusing what you're actually talking about. So review, first time you're mentioning a noun, you use a or an. The second time you're mentioning a noun, you use the. If the noun is definitely already known, you can also use the. Zero article or no article is going to happen, meaning you are not going to use anything with plural count nouns when you're talking about them generally. So for example, stars are basically balls of gas. We don't say the stars are basically balls of gas because stars is a countable noun and we're using it in a plural form, stars, because we're talking about them generally. When we're referencing something in general, it must be a plural form if it's countable and never use an article. We also do not use an article when we have non-count nouns. For example, we need water to survive. We do not say we need the water to survive. We definitely don't say we need a water to survive. Water or other non-count nouns do not use articles. Another time you do not use articles are with proper nouns, so the names of things, such as Orion is a popular constellation. I don't say the Orion, I just say Orion. Zero or no article. However, there are always exceptions in English, right? What are the exceptions when it comes to using articles? When can we use the with non-count nouns? When can we use the with proper nouns? I just told you the rule is that we can't. However, if you want to learn the exceptions, then sign up, become a Gold member today, and find out more in our study plan this week. This week, our members are going to get a study plan with the exceptions to the rules, information, more examples, and practice exercises. Remember, you can sign up on our website, englishacrossthepond.com/gold. And thanks again for listening. I'll see you soon.